So welcome. Welcome to MMS. My name is Eric Williams. I'm a technical marketing engineer for Cisco. Jason?
Jason Shaw, technical marketing engineer also, focused on systems management and work closely with Microsoft and our integrations that we have with System Center.
In this particular session, we're going to talk about automating your Cisco UCS infrastructure with the tools available from Microsoft System Center and PowerShell. So it's going to be a fast-paced day today. We're going to quickly go through just a few slides and talk about what things we have to offer with integration and automation and monitoring and management of UCS with the System Center tools. We're going to talk about toolkits that are available, and then we're going to get into a lot of different demos. So we're going to demo using our UCS PowerShell library called Cisco UCS PowerTool to do automation, querying, and whatnot, and management of your UCS environment, as well as talk about our UI extensions that we have for Virtual Machine Manager and our management pack for Operations Manager and our integration pack with Orchestrator. So we'll have three demos. That's going to take most of the time that we have here. Everything that we're going to show today is going to be posted on our developer network, which we'll talk a little bit about in the future slides. And so anything we're showing is going to be fully available for you guys to get after the session. You know, the session will be recorded, so you can go back and watch it. But the videos and the scripts and everything that we're doing are going to be fully publicly available for you guys. So this is all, you know, all for you guys. So let's first talk about what is the UCS programmatic infrastructure. So I'm just curious, a show of hands of who's using UCS in their data center today. Awesome. So you guys are pretty familiar, the group here is pretty familiar with what UCS is. We're not going to really talk about UCS specifically, but we'll talk a little bit about some of the differences with some of the legacy platforms and where UCS is different. So one thing that we did differently, if you look at the history lesson going back 5 years ago when we started development, we wanted to look at what would make managing your data center and these servers easier. So there's a couple elements that we developed that are differentiating features for UCS. So one thing that we wanted to do is embed that software inside of the infrastructure. So what you guys know today as UCS Manager is software running inside of the Fabric interconnects that monitors, manages the configuration, inventories all of the different elements you see here. So things like the Fabric interconnects, your I/O modules, your blade server chassis, all of your servers, either rack mount servers or blade servers, and your adapters. So when I say managing them, that means you're going to monitor, when you add new hardware into them, we add auto inventory everything that you see there, and we'll do all of the configuration of your environment. So configuration means, you know, we're doing that hardware provisioning step of, you know, configuring the RAID config, upgrading, downgrading firmware, setting your BIOS settings, all those types of things that are defined in what we call a service profile. So for those who aren't familiar with a service profile is a logical definition to how you want a server configured. So it's logical in the standpoint of you define what networks you want the server to communicate on. So networks both for your LAN and your SAN connectivity, so you can define what VLANs, VSANs, and whatnot you're configured against. And again, all those policies that you can define, like BIOS settings, boot order, and templating on the service profiles, as well as on your VNIC and VHBAs. One big area that we did differently is to really focus on making it integratable. So one thing that we really wanted to focus on is, instead of having integration points at each of the different elements, like your switches or your each blade or each chassis or what have you, we wanted to basically take all of those interfaces and create a common interface to monitor and manage those. That's our XML API that sits at the top. We basically took all of the different APIs that you have, like all the APIs at the chassis level, the blade level, the I/O module, and the fabric interconnect level, and federated them into one API. So the benefit that you get as a customer is, you know, we ourselves at Cisco use that same API through our CLI, through our GUI, as well as customers or third parties that we're integrating with can integrate with that same API. benefit you're going to get is anything you can do in the GUI or CLI with UCS is automatable. Any of the data that you see there, like, you know, the number of chassis, the CPUs, the memory, et cetera, those are all of that data is gathered by UCS Manager, and that XML API is talking directly to UCS Manager. So anytime that you're changing state, creating a new service profile, associating it to a blade, everything, if you're doing it through the GUI or CLI or other tools like what we'll talk about today, like PowerShell or PowerTool Library, are talking to that same API. So we're going to talk a little bit about our developer network. How many people have heard of the Cisco Developer Network? A few. So the developer network, it's on the web, the link that you see here at the top, developer.cisco.com. And for UCS specifically, we've kind of, the developer is not the right term in my opinion. A lot of the content that we put out there is for more systems administrators and people that are, you know, managing UCS. So things that we have out there are things like all of our Microsoft integrations, like our System Center Operations Manager, SCVMM, SCO, our PowerShell library called the Cisco UCS PowerTool, and things like the Platform Emulator. So another question I was going to ask is, how many people know what the Platform Emulator is? Even less. So we'll talk about that next. So the Platform Emulator is basically that code that runs in the Fabric Interconnects, the UCS Manager that manages all of your servers, chassis, and whatnot. It's basically that code that runs in the Fabric Interconnects, but put into a VM. So this is a virtual machine that can run in, you know, in Hyper-V or VMware, Fusion, and such. It's delivered as an OVA or a zip file that has all of the disks inside of it that can be converted to the hypervisor of your choice. And the difference between the tools running inside of our Fabric Interconnects and the emulator is basically one thing. We have written a layer of emulation that UCS Manager would talk to normally, the hardware, you know, talk to the chassis, the Fabric Interconnects, et cetera. We've written a layer of emulation to emulate that communication. So the code that we basically use the exact same code that we put inside of our Fabric Interconnects, or the code that you download from Cisco.com, we put that in the VM. The APIs are all the same. The code's the same. The GUI's the same. It's all created from the same code base. So the benefit you get is you can actually write automation scripts or learn how to use UCS Manager and all of the different features and functions inside of an environment that can run on your laptop. So some of the demos we're going to show today are going to both use a real environment, so real UCS Manager hardware, as well as things against an emulator. So you won't be able to tell the difference because the APIs are identical. The GUIs are the same. It's just basically, you know, it's going to talk to a VM versus a real system. And I'll call out the differences where we actually are communicating to a real system versus an emulator as well. So what toolkits are available specifically for System Center? So today we have the first thing that we really worked on developing is a PowerShell library called UCS PowerTool. How many have heard of UCS PowerTool and are using it? So a few people. We'll talk about PowerShell at length today. We have a few different integration packs, monitoring packs, and management packs, one for System Center Operations Manager. So that particular management pack is to get you a view into your UCS environment from SCOM to be able to monitor the health and the configuration of your UCS environment. So that you could basically pull FreeAura API, some of the inventory information, like what blades are discovered, your chassis, all the fans, IO modules, et cetera, and pulls the faults about each of those elements. So you can look at each of the different elements to say, what faults do I have in chassis 1? Or what configuration do I have in chassis 1 and such, like what service profiles are defined, as well as looking at the environment as a whole. To see exactly what I have configured. For SCVMM, that's basically a monitoring pack, a UI extension to give you a view like what you'd get in UCS Manager inside of SCVMM. So we basically will correlate what hypervisors for Hyper-V are running on our UCS hardware and show you that view so you can basically launch a KVM, look at the faults, and all those types of things. For System Center Orchestrator, it's basically an integration pack that has some different tools to be able to do automation using our PowerShell library underneath the covers to do automation and such. And secondly, there's going to be one other session tomorrow talking about our integration at the networking layer with VMFEX and Nexus 1000V that integrates inside of Hyper-V as well. I don't know the session number on that, but we can look that up and get that to you at the end of the session as well. But look out, there's another session specifically talking about that from Cisco as well. So let's talk about UCS PowerTool. So UCS PowerTool is a PowerShell module that we've been developing for quite a while now that integrates directly with our API. So again, going back to the concept about our XML API being fully open, we write to the same API that you can use with PowerShell or write your own scripts and whatnot. So the big deal here is, you know, since we've only developed one API, we don't have an API we'd write our own software to, and then a different API that we allow third-party partners and customers to write to. We only have one. That means that, again, anything you can do in the GUI or CLI, anything that you can query or see in the, like, from a data perspective in the GUI or CLI is available. So things like being able to get all of the information about your hardware. Since we're we're actually going out and looking at the, you know, hardware automatically for you as part of the discovery process, we query for every bit and byte that's inside of all those blades, inside of all the rack mount servers and whatnot. And you can query that data, you know, from a central source for up to, you know, 160 servers that are being managed by that one UCS manager and be able to populate some of that data into your CMDB as an example. I've worked with a customer down in Atlanta that has 52 domains. They basically query those 6,000 servers to get all of their, you know, their information about their DIMMs, their CPUs, the blades and such, and across those 6,000 servers, you know, to get all of that data and populate it into a custom SQL database that they've defined takes about a minute and a half. So it's a very performant, quick and easy way to get that data in and out with very minimal number of lines and such. Some of that data are available publicly on his own blog that the gentleman that's working with that customer. So I can give you guys, if anyone's interested in getting that information, I can give you the person's blog after the session. Everything that we're doing with our PowerShell library is based on a .NET set of libraries we're developing. So that .NET namespace that we've developed is being interfaced with PowerShell, or is basically our interface for our PowerShell library, Cisco UCS PowerTool, as well as that .NET namespace we've developed is being used in the other products that we've developed on top of our library, like our System Center Operations Manager, SCVMM plugin, and our System Center Orchestrator pack. So the great part about it is, no matter what tool you're using, it's using the same libraries underneath the covers to be able to do that data gathering and you know, querying and whatnot. So one thing that we've done is pretty different compared to a lot of other PowerShell libraries is, you know, since day one we've defined a XML model or an XML schema. And that XML schema will basically define every object that we store inside of UCS Manager. So those objects could be things like your blades or your service profiles or the pools that you've defined. And the great part about it, since day one we've had this definition, we're utilizing it to our advantage for PowerShell. So we're taking our schema that we auto-generate. We're taking that schema that defines all the different objects and the different blades, chassis, fabric interconnects, and we're auto-generating our commandlets based upon that schema. Since those objects describe all the properties that we need to gather, like for instance in a blade, we need to get the number of CPUs, the amount of memory, the number of adapters, the serial number. All of those things have been defined since day one with UCS Manager, so we're just taking that definition and creating a commandlet, or to be able to gather it. So I can do a get UCS blade, And the blade will basically, that will return all the objects in the UCS manager and all the properties associated with that we store in our database with that. I can do a get UCS service profile, which will list me all the service profiles that are defined on the system. So since day one with UCS manager, everything in our world has been objects. So translating it into PowerShell was actually a terrible task, terribly difficult task for us, because we basically just needed a way to generate things. So the good part about this automatic code generation is you get 100% coverage of our API. So we have around 1,700 commandlets today. That's a lot of commandlets, but the point is there's nothing you can't do in our GUI and CLI that you couldn't automate through PowerShell. And we'll show you a couple of ways to make that transition and that learning process to learn those 1,700 commandlets very easy. So day one of you downloading our PowerShell library, you can be effective and you can actually automate things within minutes. So we'll go through it in the demo that is soon to come. We'll go through that. So some of the supported objects and assets that we manage, this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just generally what people are interested in getting information about or monitoring or configuring. Are some of the hardware objects like our servers, you can get information about the CPUs, the memory, the adapters, as well as things like the chassis, the fabric interconnects, as well as creating, doing configuration operations, like adding a new pool or adding a new policy or a new template or what have you, as well as creating your service profiles or ad hoc or from a template and then associating them to blades. So let's switch over to a demo. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to come up to the microphone and ask your questions if you have certain questions. So we'll start off with that learning process. How do I learn the PowerShell library very quickly with UCS? So we've created a commandlet called convert to UCS commandlet. How many people have heard of that commandlet? I'm curious. A few, not nearly enough. So if nothing else, you get one thing from this presentation, remember that commandlet. It will be your saving grace in the future. So what this commandlet does is basically it will go out every time you launch a UCS Manager GUI. It's a Java, basically it's a Java process. It creates a log file. In that log file, we detail basically the communications from UCS GUI to UCS Manager in XML form. So once I launch a GUI, in your user directory buried in C:users, your username, local low app data, sun deployment, java.ucsm, somewhere in that path. It's not exact, but somewhere buried in your user directory will be files called centrale, a number.log. Those centrale files are the log files for UCS Manager that detail the actions and queries that the GUIs are doing. We've taken that and used it to our advantage. And so what this commandlet does is monitor that log file for configuration operations you did in the GUI, and then we'll convert that XML file or the XML document that's stored in the log file into a set of PowerShell commandlets. So let's go through some examples doing that. Let's say I wanted to learn how to create a VLAN. I go to the GUI. You guys are all familiar with the GUI, I presume. Everyone's used that has UCS has used the GUI. And I go through and say, create VLAN. I go and create a VLAN called 22, ID 22. I hit OK, and boom. It doesn't give me XML output, it gives me commandlet output. This is the PowerShell or UCS PowerTool form to be able to do that operation. I do a get UCS LAN cloud, pipe that into add UCS VLAN, and then give it my name and the VLAN 22 and ID 22. For those who are curious of what get UCS LAN cloud is, you can define VLANs in a couple different ways. You can define it for a common VLAN for both fabric interconnects, which is the LAN cloud, or you can define it for Fabric A or Fabric B, which you would use if you wanted to define different VLANs for Fabric A or B, you would use a different commandlet to define the scope of where you want to create that particular VLAN. So there's step one. Within about 20 seconds, I learned my first step of how to do some automation of creation of VLANs. Second step, let's create something a little bit more complex, like a boot policy. We're going to create a boot policy where your local disk is the first boot device and your network is the second boot device. So my name is disk-net. So I'll add a local drive and a LAN boot. And so you can see here, you'll see basically we have local storage is boot device one, LAN is second, and then I'm basically specifying the NIC called ETH0 as my first, as the boot device for the second boot device. I hit OK, and again, immediate gratification. You get immediate gratification to say, here's the commandlets you would need to run with UCS Power Tool to do that operation. Again, so now I've been, and within a minute now, I've learned how to do two things from the GUI. So I've created a boot policy and created a VLAN. One thing that I'll comment on here that you might, if for those who can read it, hopefully everyone in the back can read it. Again, these videos will be available publicly, so if you can't read everything, I'll try to talk my best through it. One thing that you see at the beginning and the end here is a commandlet called start UCS transaction and complete UCS transaction. What those two commandlets do is the API with UCS is transaction-oriented, meaning I can do one action or 50 actions in one XML file. And when you send it to UCS Manager, it'll figure out the order it needs to apply things in. So I can add a boot policy, a service profile, and 50 VLANs. And if I start it with start UCS transaction and complete UCS transaction and end it with that, then it'll basically PowerShell will put those actions in a pending state and wait to send it all those particular actions until the very end when you run complete UCS transaction. There's a couple other commandlets you might want to know about. We have one called, basically allows you to do an estimate impact. It'll actually tell you, before I run complete UCS transaction, what could happen? Am I going to reboot something? Is something going to end up happening? Similarly with how the GUI does, when you make a change and it says, estimating impact, we have a commandlet that uses that same API that the GUI does to tell you, okay, before I do this, what's going to happen? And what potentially could, would be rebooted or what have you. So then you do the CYA of make sure you really want to do that before you say complete. So we'll go through one more example with convert to UCS commandlet. Is there a question? Can you come up to the...
Yeah.
That's fine.
Great. So is that transaction syntax, if I can sort of step four and fail there, will it roll back the earlier stuff?
That's a good question. So the question was if I... Let me reverse here. So if I go through like four different things and four different commands after start, and I apply it, and one fails. Will the other three be applied? And the answer is no. It's an all or nothing thing. If three of the four work and the fourth one doesn't, then the whole thing is going to be rolled back. So we're going to apply everything that we send in one transaction, either all or nothing. So you'd have to debug what didn't work and such. So that's a very good question. So again, the next example we're going to go through is creating a service profile template. So we're going to create one called Windows 2012. And so the plan is here, we're going to use these particular VLANs, boot policies, and such later in the presentation as well. So we'll go through here and we're going to create a service profile called Windows 2012. And before on the previous screen, I defined the UUID to use a pool. So I use the default pool, and that UUID will grab a logical UUID from a pool and then overwrite whatever's on the hardware with that logical definition. The next screen, for those who've created a service profile, there's nothing special that I'm doing here. It's just a normal creation process. We're going to create a VLAN called ETH0, grab a MAC address from the pool that's been pre-created, use that VLAN that I used before or that just created in the previous steps, and make it my native VLAN and enable failover. We'll go ahead and configure storage to use the default storage policy, which basically specifies how I want to configure my local storage. And I just said, use any configuration, RAID 1, RAID 0, whatever is available. We're not going to use any HBAs in this example. It's just going to be one NIC and then use local storage. So we don't need to configure zoning here or configure the placement. And basically only have one PCI device anyway. So we'll just keep that. Let the system define my placement. We'll use that boot policy that we created called DiskNet before. So you can see at the bottom here that it has the same configuration we had before, so that local storage and ETH 0, that is a second boot device. We'll define to use the maintenance policy default. And then we're going to set the desired power state to be off. And what that means is the desired power state upon service profile association will basically be off. I don't want the system being powered on until I want it to be powered on. So if I create a service profile from this template, after the service profile is associated, it'll power itself off. And then the last thing we'll define is a scrub policy. We'll use the default one, and I've edited the default one to basically say, please scrub the disks and the BIOS, because I want to make sure it wipes out the MBR, so we can, when we use this in a later demo, the next demo I'll show you, we're going to actually do an operating system deployment with one of these guys, so we want to make sure the MBR has been wiped. So again, once I hit OK, you get instant gratification again. You can see all of the output to create that same service profile in PowerShell form. And the good part about this, you can cut and paste this, put it into Power GUI or whatever PowerShell ISE that you guys use, and then make changes, add variables in places that you want to add variables to be able to reuse configurations over and over. And a lot of the demos that I've developed up on Cisco Developer Network, I use this myself. I mean, because why do work when I can let it do the work for me? I can quickly do something in the GUI, configure exactly the way I want to, and again, instant gratification of that's exactly how to configure it. That's the same API that the GUI sent, but not in XML form and PowerShell form.
One quick story, and I had an opportunity to work with a new system administrator who had never used PowerShell before. Had an opportunity basically to automate the deployment of a full rack of UCS gear, fabric interconnects and rack mount servers, and it was for a big data project. And I actually installed PowerShell on this gentleman's laptop, installed our PowerShell library, and walked through all the steps of bringing up a brand new domain. And within a short period of time, we had a full script basically to from the time, let's say, a partner racked and stacked the gear and basically did the initial configuration of the fabric interconnects, we could just throw a PowerShell script into the system and do all the setup. So again, that was a great example of using PowerShell, using convert to UCS commandlet to quickly learn how to automate tasks in UCS.
So again, you can see all of the different, the configuration here of all of the different settings that the GUI was sending to UCSM. You've got your VNIC configuration, you're referencing the boot policy that you've defined, that VNIC's using that VLAN 22 as its main native VLAN and all that. So all that configuration is being populated here. So now let's take what we've learned and start automating. So now I've done three different examples. Now let's take some of the actions that we've learned and start making real use of it. So first thing I'll need to do is connect to a domain. So this bob.ucsdemo.cisco.com domain is basically the same system that I was doing the convert to UCS commandlet from. So I'm just going to log in via PowerShell. This is, again, the commandlet to do that is connect UCS. If you don't provide credentials like PS credentials or PowerShell credentials, it'll pop up a window for you to provide those, as well as there's ways to be able to connect to many systems and output a XML file that has all of your encrypted password, all the domains you're connected to and all the passwords that are encrypted inside of an XML file to make it where you can automate logging into 50 or 60 domains if you have that many. So I'll provide my credentials. And what you can see here is this is the output from that particular command. So what you'll see is I got a cookie. So the cookie is basically, when you do a login, we provide you back with what privileges you got and then a cookie. And then PowerShell will store this information and reuse that cookie and refresh the cookie as need be. So when you run the next PowerShell commands, this will be sent to UCSM. You can see that I have my user was an admin, and I was given privileges admin and read-only. Everybody gets read-only, so no matter who you log in with, you always get read-only. But I have the administrative privileges, and this is the URI that we connected to over SSL. So let's take that VLAN example that we had before, and let's add a VLAN, you know, via PowerShell. So the first commandlet that I ran was $LC equals get UCS LAN cloud. For those PowerShell newbies out there, that's just I'm basically getting the LAN cloud object and storing it in a variable so I can reuse it over and over again. So I'm going to take that LAN cloud and pipe it into add UCS VLAN. We're going to add the Bob VLAN with ID 222. And so you can see here, this is the previous, here VLAN 22 is the previous VLAN that I created, and I just now created Bob, and you can see the ID is 2222. So I did, very simple, took what I learned from convert TCS commandlet, and then you can see quickly added a new VLAN. So what if you have to have 21 more VLANs? Let's go through that. So what I'm going to do here, we're going to basically add the VLAN range 100 to 120. And a couple short commands. Comment on doing, like this example, is here's a reason why you'd want to use start UCS transaction. If I were to run this next command, this $out equals 100.120, so the 100.120 will give me an array back of all the numbers from 100 to 120, so 100, 101, 102, all the way down to 120. I'm going to pipe that array into a for each loop, and then do $LC, pipe, add UCS VLAN, and then do the name VLAN dollar underscore. So VLAN dollar underscore, the dollar underscore is the temporary variable for each iteration, and then the ID is dollar underscore. So it's going to create VLAN with a name 100 to 120 with ID 100 to 120. So if I were to execute this without start UCS transaction, every time it iterates through that for loop, it sends an XML document. Well, it takes about probably a quarter of a second for that to run. So you do the math. It could take a while if you don't use the transaction. Like, for instance, I had a customer add 1,000 VLANs in one fell swoop. That would take about 5 minutes to run if you didn't do it with start UCS transaction. Versus it takes about a quarter of a second for this thing to run because it's sending one big XML file to UCSM. So what I'll do is a get UCS PS session before I run this, before I run the complete. And what you see here is in the session we have the number of pending configs is 21. So that's the 21 VLANs that I'm trying to create. PowerShell has stored them and basically is in memory, and when I run the complete UCS transaction, we'll apply those particular configurations. Nothing has been sent to UCS Manager whatsoever until I run complete UCS transaction. So what happens if I say, oh, I screwed up before I run complete UCS transaction? Is there any way I can undo this? And the answer is yes. There's a undo UCS transaction where I can basically roll back these pending changes, decommit them from memory like they never happened. So if you make a mistake or what have you, you can always, before you run complete UCS transaction, you can get yourself out of it so we don't apply them. So now if I run complete UCS transaction, what I'll end up doing here is I'm going to pipeline this into a format table just to make the output all hit one screen. So I'm basically querying for the DN, the name, the ID, the status, and such. So you can see VLAN 100 to 120 was created on this domain, and again, you can see the VLAN, the IDs all match between their names. So quickly, something in the GUI, if you're doing it, would take, a lot of time, is done in a matter of seconds. So far I've been managing one domain. A lot of you might have a lot more domains. You might have four or five domains or, be a really large customer and have 40 or 50 domains that you're managing. Everything I've shown again today has been against one, but we support connecting our PowerShell library to more than one. By default, when you install and load our module, we have in our configuration, we have a flag called support multiple default UCS, and that's set to false by default. That's more for, you know, so you don't shoot yourself in the foot until you know what you're doing. So don't enable it unless you, unless you know what you're doing. And I'll show why in just a moment. So I'll set that to true. So now you can see the support multiple default UCS is set to true. And I'm going to connect to another system. So we're going to connect to Eric. So I'm previously connected to Bob. I'm still connected to Bob. And now I'm going to connect to a second domain. So if I run a get UCSPS session at the bottom here, you will see that now I'm connected to two. I've already connected to Bob, and now I'm connected to Eric. The reason why I say you have to be careful is if I run like a get UCS service profile and I don't specify the domain or the UCS name, it'll run it against all of them. So if you accidentally try to remove an object and you meant to do it only on one, if you don't specify the domain you want to remove it on, you can easily remove a set of objects across all your domains. So tread lightly. Make sure you're being careful and know what you're doing, which is why we don't turn it on by default. But it does ensure a lot of power once you really learn how to be able to use it. So we'll do a couple commandlets of doing some queries. So we'll do a get UCS blade, and I'm just running a format table to format the data output to be a little bit less. So we have a lot of properties on a blade, probably about 30 properties or so. And I'm just filtering out the properties with a format table, and that goes to all those objects. So what you can see here is we have a lot of different blades. So I have blade 1 through 7 and then 1 through 8. But you notice this UCS column. There's Bob, and then there's Eric. So these are the blade, from here above, these are the blades that are on the Bob domain, and then the ones that say Eric are on the Eric domains. So this is where, like the customer I was talking about that has 50 domains, they connect to all 50, run one command, and then I have all my information. I can take that, pipe it into, like for this particular customer, found some PowerShell scripts to convert PowerShell objects to SQL tables, and he basically will dump all the objects right into SQL and create reports against it. So it's not, we can easily convert those things into other formats with PowerShell. So we'll do another couple examples, so I'm doing some queries. So I'll do a get UCS boot policy. And I'm gonna format all of these just to make the output a little bit prettier, fit all on one screen. And so again, you can see the boot policies that are defined on Bob and then the boot policies that are defined on Eric. So I've got 4 on Bob and then 5 on Eric. And you can see that disknet one we created earlier on Bob, but it's not present on Eric. We'll do a get UCS LAN cloud, pipe that in to get the VLANs, and we're going to format this as well. And you will see all the VLANs on both domains. So you can see here, we've got all the VLANs that we've created in the steps so far. VLAN 100, 120, VLAN 22 on Bob, and the Bob VLAN on Bob, as well as 3 other created VLANs on Eric. So VLAN 10, 11, and 206. So all these queries are great, but a lot of you guys want to be able to make your job easier in the standpoint of, I have one domain today, Bob. Let's assume that's my domain that I've been using for the past 6 months. Well, the new domain, Eric, is my new environment. So I want to basically try to make the new domain, Eric, look like Bob. So all of those VLANs that I've created, all of the service profile template and the boot policy, how can I quickly copy or synchronize all of those VLANs from Bob to Eric, that boot policy disk net from Bob to Eric, as well as that service profile template, Windows 2012, from Bob to Eric. And here's where I want to make a comment about the emulator. Bob is an emulator. Eric is a real domain. So again, you couldn't have told, I just told you now that everything we've run to now, except when we connected to Eric, was run against an emulator. So the GUI is communicating to the emulator. All of the commands that you've seen so far have been communicating to the emulator as well. The next set of commands are going to basically synchronize objects that are in an emulator to a real domain. So what we're going to do is use 2 commandlets. We're going to use 2 new commandlets we haven't talked about. One called compare UCS managed object and sync UCS managed object. So compare UCS MO, or MO is the short name for a managed object. Basically, we'll compare two sets of objects against each other. So what we'll end up doing is I'm going to do a compare UCSMO, and all of the output I'm going to put into a variable called diff. And it's going to compare objects that are returned from one set of commandlets against objects that are returned from a second set of commandlets. So when I say one versus the other, they'll basically, one set of commandlets will be wrapped in one set of parentheses, and the second one, the one we're going to diff against, will be wrapped in a second set of parentheses. So I did compare UCSMO, left paren, get UCS land cloud. So what we're planning on doing is synchronizing all of the VLANs from, you know, Bob to Eric. So I do a get UCS land cloud dash UCS Eric. So I'm basically getting the land cloud on Eric and getting the VLANs that are in that particular land cloud on Eric. Do a write paren to end that, so that all those objects will be compared to the next set of parentheses, which is going to do a get UCS land cloud to the UCS. I'm basically specify the Bob domain in here. So I'm basically comparing what VLANs are in Eric to what VLANs are in Bob. And so I'll do the same command, get UCS VLAN limit scope. And what I get is a diff output. So what this on the right side, these are arrows. So I'm basically saying these VLANs here, like the VLAN 100 to 120, are available on the right set of bubble, or the right parentheses, that Bob VLAN, but not present on Eric. And you see a few of them, like this VLAN 10 and 206, are pointing the opposite way. These VLANs, VLAN 10 and 206, are available in Eric, but not Bob. In my examples, I'm more concerned about the VLANs that are present on Bob that aren't present on Eric. So I'm really willing to go one way in this particular set of examples. So what we'll do is a sync UCSMO, and then we'll basically specify, the output of what will happen. So I did a sync UCSMO, UCS Eric, and I'm basically providing that diff output. And I do a what if to say what would basically happen if I were to perform this. And I'm going to add all of these VLANs on the Eric domain. So if I change the what if to force, so it doesn't ask me 20 times, do you want to do this? I'm basically going to add all those particular VLANs, from one environment to another. So now I've created those particular VLANs on the Eric domain. So we'll go through a couple other quick examples of doing the same things. We're going to copy that boot policy from one domain to another. So we'll do the same, get UCS boot policy, define the Eric. We're going to copy that disk net guy from Bob to Eric. So we'll do get UCS boot policy in each one, but one will be Bob, one will be Eric. And there's the boot policy. And we'll do the sync UCSMO. It'll show me what would happen. So I'm going to add all of those objects for the boot policy to Eric. And if I run the force, again, you'll see we added that new boot policy on Eric. We'll go through the last one here where we'll do compare UCSMO on the service profile. And we'll copy that Windows 2012 service profile from Eric to Bob using the same capability, using UCS service profile. We'll do a sync UCSMO, again do a what if. And that's what will happen. And we'll do the force again, and we'll create that service profile. So we'll have copied a service profile, a boot policy, and about 22 VLANs from Bob to Eric. So the last example that we'll do here is show some, on this particular set, is do some backups. So we can do a configuration all backup. And basically we'll connect to both Bob and Eric and do a backups. And what you'll see here down at the bottom here is two XML files that have been downloaded from both Eric and Bob.
We're accelerating this video, but honestly,
that wasn't accelerated.
That task happens extremely quick.
Yeah. We had a customer do that against 50 domains, do a config all and a full state backup in 40 seconds. So this was against two. That's exactly right. So we're going to take this backup and show a new feature we're adding to convert to UCS Commandlet. So everything we've showed to date was basically going against our GUI. We can take one of those backups. This will be available in the next version of our PowerShell library, where we can take a config all backup and convert that backup into PowerShell. So basically, I'll run this command, and I'm going to create a bob.ps1. And so this is basically in PowerShell form your backup. So we've converted every object that's config object inside of this as well. So you can see here that this is the service profile template that we created. The same exact output we had with our convert to UCS commandlet against the GUI is here compared to what we did in this particular commandlet.
And that new feature definitely would have saved me even more time in achieving the use case that I was describing earlier.
So the next example, it'll be a pretty quick one, but basically it's a script we've written. We've written with using our PowerTool library. And
we have a question.
Oh, it's a question?
Just real quick.
Yep. That's a great question. So there's a feature in the emulator and in the startup hardware inventory and the platform emulator GUI that allows you to connect to a live system and query all the hardware in a live system and import it right in. So the question was basically, how do I get my hardware config into the emulator?
And again, if you want an emulator that looks like the system you're running in your lab, you can actually quickly, again, connect to a live system, suck in what you're using live in your environment, and have it in a playground, if you will, that you can run on your laptop. Yep.
The next example is basically wanting to do a provisioning process with WDS. We wanted to take the hardware provisioning with PowerTool, marry it with the DHCP and DNS PowerShell libraries from Microsoft, and then configure WDS to do a full end-to-end deployment with PowerShell to install a new Windows 2012 system to bare metal on top of a UCS blade. So what you've seen here, we have basically imported the install image for Windows 2012. We've applied an unattended installation file to it that will tell it how to configure it, what features, roles, the product key, and whatnot. We've added a boot image for Windows 2012 and imported all the drivers inside of this as well. So these are all the drivers for UCS. What we're going to end up doing is, at the end, adding a pre-staged device that defines the MAC address and all the environment from UCS into here. We've got a pre-created DHCP scope that has no reservations and that we'll end up creating a new reservation in, as well as DNS has been configured. And again, there's nothing in here that, basically we're going to create a new server called new server. So we're going to run the script. We're going to point it to the UCS domain, point it to the org and the template that we want to use, and then the blade that we want to install to. And then this host name will be the host name of the blade as well as the service profile name. So we're going to log into that particular domain. We're going to basically create that service profile from a template. We're going to monitor the association of the service profile. And remember, in the previous step, I set the power state to be off when the service profile is associated. So now the service profile is associated. The script will now check to see if it's if it's associated, and then go through and fully configure, check to see if your DHCP scope has been created, if it's there and on the DHCP server that's defined in this PowerShell script. Check to see if you have the DNS zone that you've defined and such. Add a new DHCP static reservation and with the MAC address from the service profile, and then add a DNS A record into DNS. And what you'll end up seeing here is this basically, we're going to create all the objects with that particular MAC address that ends in OOFF. So you'll see a pre-staged device called new server with that MAC address. And then we'll see the DHCP static reservation with the same MAC address. You see the DNS A record with that same MAC address. And then we'll actually boot the system, and it will fully install itself. So this is using WDS to fully install itself and install Windows 2012. It'll go, basically the unattended installation files we've defined will automatically log into WDS, grab the installation and fully install the hardware.
And look at how fast our new M4 blades run.
So the last example, this will be a quick example as well, is something, this is a script that the gentleman sitting here in the front, Chris Shockey, one of our advanced services gentlemen here wrote. It's basically going to synchronize all the service profiles defined in a particular org and basically create VM hosts and Hyper-V with them. So today we have three VM hosts, EDW SCVMM and SHA SCVMM 1 and 2. We've pre-created a host profile that defines the VHD that you want to boot from, and that VHD is basically a sysprepped VHD with 2012 on it. And basically, what this will end up happening is it will go through and fully configure all the system, the service profiles as VM hosts. So we'll basically define the VMM manager that you want to use, the UCS manager IP. It'll tell us the host profile to use, as well as the org target. So we're using the SCVMM target on that UCS domain. I'll log into UCS, log into SCVMM, and then it will create all the objects that needs to be created. Like in this case, it'll check to make sure IPMI is defined on each service profile. If not, it'll create a policy and the users needed. So SCVMM can actually trigger the blade to boot, and then SCVM will actually then go through the operating system deployment, would deploy that VHD. So now you can see two jobs were created, and then we'll go through deployment of those particular systems as well. So this is, you know, SCVMM is deploying this, deploying that VHD on top of the blade, and then we'll add it into SCVMM at the very end. So then you basically can utilize these as new hosts add virtual machines on top of it and such. So, you know, again, I'm going to fast forward in essence of time through some of this. I think everyone's seen systems boot and systems install. But at the very end, what you'll end up seeing is once these two jobs have completed, is we have now five VM hosts. We have two new VM hosts called Foster SCVMM and SCVMM 1 and 2. So let's go ahead and I want to transition here to Jason. And he can talk about our management pack for SCOM and our integration pack for SCO and UI extension for SCVMM.
Great. So we're going to start with our UI extension for SCVMM. And again, what we've done is created an add-in that can be installed into SCVMM and really bring a lot of the information that administrators might need to go into UCS Manager for, things like some of the power controls, you know, KVM, showing the firmware levels for that host, faults relevant to that host, the correlation between the hypervisor, you know, where it's running on which UCS domain, what chassis, what blade, things they may want to be aware of. And ultimately, limit the amount of times that SCVMM administrator has to go back into UCS for any of that info. And some of the information is listed on the left-hand side here. So we'll actually jump and go right into a demo. Great, so I've got our SCVMM console up. You can see the Cisco UCS add-in installed at the top. And as we move over, we see the hypervisor dropdown, the UCS dropdown. These are the hypervisors that have been discovered on the two UCS domains that we do have registered already. And anything you click on, any of these objects in the right pane, will give you very detailed info. For folks that have seen the UCS Manager interface, we've got a very similar UI that we've created and pulled. And again, we've got controls like KVM console, as you see here. Preventing that administrator from having to go into another tool. And certainly lots of useful information in our KVM, power controls, inventory, system info. The firmware is consolidated. If you're familiar with UCS Manager, you've got to go into the equipment tab. And actually, there's a couple of different tabs to ultimately get all of the firmware levels. We've consolidated them in this one tab. And certainly faults would be another common area administrators want to be aware of. UCS Manager has an active fault log, and what's nice about the faults that we show, these are the real faults that are happening on that host right now. If I had a bad DIM, it would show up in that fault tab, and it would automatically clear once the once the reason for the fault has been fixed.
So one comment I want to make on this, this UI extension is basically using PowerShell underneath the covers. It's using our UCS Power Tool to get all this information and display it, and then we've basically developed a UI that sits inside of SCVMM to make it look and feel just like what we have with UCS Manager. So again, it's using the same API that Power Tool is using. It's actually using Power Tool underneath the covers.
And this is actually the Cisco UCS Manager UI. I brought this up really just to show, again, how similar the view is in SCVMM compared to what we have in UCS Manager. Very common. Again, we're only pulling in the actions that are relevant to give that administrator in SCVMM. Great. And then, you know, on the UCS side, you can actually navigate in and see the equipment inside that UCS domain, all of your chassis, your blades, their status, find available resources. And again, anything you click on, you've got nice correlation between the service profile name, the hypervisor, you know, where that hypervisor is running. We actually also have the ability to associate new service profiles or from template. So I'm actually doing a query looking for both available and associated service profiles here. But we actually have the ability to deploy them from SCVMM as well.
So you can basically select a service profile here and then associate it with a blade without having to ever go to the UCS Manager console. So some things we're looking in the future to potentially maybe do is a demo that we showed before around doing the SCVMM, you know, adding a new SCVMM host. We're thinking of basically putting that kind of functionality in our UI extension where I can say, associate the service profile and add it as an SCVMM host with this host profile and such to make it a little bit easier to add new hypervisors into SCVMM.
And lastly, I'm going to show how easy it is to add a new UCS domain. Again, right-clicking, you have just a few items to enter, your IP address of UCS Manager, your credentials, and you'll see how quickly the two new hosts are identified that are on that domain, and these are the two that we synced over earlier.
Those are the two systems that in the ending demo where we synced the UCS service profiles to VMM. Those are the two ones that we synced in when we add the UCS.
We're doing that correlation through UUID.
Yes. So user account that the user, the use of every VMM admin accessing the UCS connector, was it personalized?
Can we do a single sign-on, I think, is...
I think it's by whoever's signed into VMM. We have one of our engineers in the back, Vikrant Balyan. I don't know if that's an answer that you can come up forward and answer. I think the answer is correct, but just to verify that answer... The question is, for each user in SCVMM that has the UI uses the UI extension, every user needs to create the UCS hosts that they want to be able to manage.
Yes, it is very user-bound. So any user, it is tied to a SCVMM user here. So every user will have to install the same plugin, and he'll have his domains that he wants to manage. So that's how we do all the privilege management.
Thank you. Great, and again, lastly, we're just pointing to one of the new hypervisors, and again, very quick to add a new domain and have that information available to users in SCVMM. So we've got one more demo we'll run through. Again, that was our SCVMM UI plugin. We'll switch over to our Operations Manager Management Pack. We've had an Operations Manager Pack for quite a while now. We've got a new version of the pack out on Cisco Developer Network with some great new features that I'm going to cover here. And ultimately, you know, where this becomes useful is for operators that want to monitor, you know, the health of their hardware. Our management pack, you know, once installed, you point it to the virtual IP of UCS Manager. You make one configuration point, pointing it to a UCS Manager domain, and then you're monitoring, again, all the hardware that hangs below those fabric interconnects, up to 160 servers. If you add new hardware down the road or take hardware away, you don't have to make changes in the Operations Manager configuration. We automatically discover new hardware or remove the hardware that's been removed physically. So, you know, again, very simple to set up and begin monitoring. We'll move over to a demo, and I'll hit some of those new features that we've got.
And while he's transitioning to that, a couple things that I want to make a comment on. We've talked mainly about UCS Manager to date around our SCA Management Pack and Empower Tool. We're coming out with other SDKs as well for standalone C-Series. So we've, in our latest SIMC or Double Peak or 1.5 SIMC, We've added an XML API to that as well, and we're going to develop a PowerShell library to manage your standalone servers, as well as create a management pack for SCUM to manage all of your standalone C-Series servers as well. So we're extending that to be able to manage other things besides just systems that are managed by UCSM.
Yep. So I've got Operations Manager up here. I'll start with one of the new features here is a splash page that we've created. So in the instance that called Eric_pod, we've got a new splash screen, which again provides a shortcut to both UCS Manager and our KVM Manager. Again, limiting the amount of times an administrator has to actually log into UCS Manager's interface. You can actually call it right from Operations Manager. The diagram, again, this is a core function of our Operations Manager pack. Both a hardware view on the left-hand side, which I'm beginning to open up. On the right-hand side, there's a service profile view. So you've got a view of your hardware topology and also your organization's, your service profile's configuration if you want to navigate into that. I'm going to actually just show the hardware diagram here and show you some of the objects that we expose. In this particular pod, I've got one chassis, a pair of fabric interconnects, and a quantity of blades. Again, we bucketize everything in traditional Operations Manager form. When we navigate down into the blades, this is where we've added some objects, that motherboard object, to provide, expose the health of both CPUs, our memory DIMMs, our storage controllers and such. And again, anything you click on, any of these objects in the detail view below will give you very detailed inventory information, operability status, as you see here.
So again, that's the same information that we have in the blade object or the DIMM object that you see in UCS Manager. It's exactly the same information. Everything's being queried from the same source that your UCS GUI does.
Yep, that XML API.
Yep.
So now we'll take a look at some of the new features. So I've got a few faults that are raised in here, some minor faults for pools that are created that are empty. And we'll be doing some manipulation using a new feature called the Cisco UCS Agent. One of the big asks that we've had from customers is the ability to change the severity of the faults as they are shown in Operations Manager, filter faults, maybe even change the severity of individual faults as well.
And the problem with it is today with UCS Manager we have 5 or 6 different fault levels, and we have 3 in SCUM. So what we might have thought were critical faults, in our opinion, when we developed this initially, maybe didn't translate to you in your environment. There's maybe faults that we show that you really honestly just don't care about, and you want to basically suppress from the future. So that was really the problem statement we had from the customer that we wanted to be able to solve to make you define the severity that you see in SCUM that's relevant to you, and then you can also filter out and reclassify faults that maybe you don't think are as severe as what we thought when we developed the initial management pack.
And we'll do that in 3 ways. And again, it's broken up into 3 tabs. So on the right-hand side under Tasks, we've got a new Launch Configuration shortcut. And that will launch our Cisco UCS Management Service. And you can see the 3 tabs, Severity Mapping, Severity Remapping, and Fault Filters. And we'll show an example of each of those. Here's actually a list of how we map our faults today. Our critical faults in UCS mapping to error in Operations Manager, our major, warning, and minor mapping to warning in Operations Manager, and our remaining 3 severities mapping to information. And this first tab actually allows you, at a full severity basis, to remap maybe something that is minor in UCS showing up in warning in SCUM. You may want to change that, and that's what we're going to do here, remapping an entire severity. So we'll go over to our minor faults and change the dropdown in Operations Manager from warning to information. And again, something like an empty pool may not be something you want showing up as a warning in Operations Manager. So here's a great way to make that change. So we've saved that, and we'll move back over to the Operations Manager view, and we should see those faults drop off. Again, we've currently got 15 warning faults. Now we're down to 8. And if we give it a little more time, we should see those populate down in the information category. And there they are. you know, again, reducing the severity as seen in Operations Manager. And these, again, are empty pool faults. So that's full severity remapping that we've, or severity mapping that we've done. Now we're going to move over to severity remapping. This is an expression-based tab. So we're going to create an expression that will basically assign a new severity for faults that fit the expression that we'll create. So we're going to check faults. We're going to use cause. And our cause will be equal to, this next field is actually the fault type. This will autocomplete. So again, a nice convenient way to find the fault that you may want to remap. So we're going to take, again, all of our empty pool faults and change the severity of just those faults, in this case to error. We'll put them into a higher severity, just as an example. So once that's saved, again, we'll go back into the Operations Manager view. And we'll see our faults drop off of the information category. And then shortly, we should see those pop up into critical. Again, here they are. And now moving over to the last tab, fault filters. If you want to just remove faults from your view, faults you don't care about, this is the tab for you. And again, expression-based. So similarly, we're actually going to go and choose, again, the property cause, our operator not equal to, since we want to filter these out. And then our value, again, auto-populated based on your typing, down to empty pool. So all of our empty pool faults, again, should just be removed from view. We'll hit save here. And again, you see those drop off. So that's a good high-level demo of our new UCS agent, again, for reassigning severities from an entire severity category down to individual faults, again, based on an expression, and even completely squelching those faults from view. Yes? I think we're manipulating the data as it comes in, if I'm not mistaken. Yep.
So the answer, the question was, is it when we make these changes, does it go change from a sealed management pack to an unsealed management pack? And the answer was, it's still a sealed management pack.
And then the last piece is actually monitoring the performance of this agent as it's running in the environment. And we've got an object under the UCS agent category for showing that performance. And again, you can go in and pick the particular category of performance you wanted to monitor. And this, you know, this management pack was designed according to the new architecture in 2012. These agents can be distributed across multiple management servers and give you a lot of flexibility in how you want to do your filtering and where you want to place them. And the last piece, we've just got a couple of screenshots, and then we wanted to leave some time for Q&A. It looks like we're doing well. We do have an orchestrator integration pack. And again, we talked a little bit about this earlier. It's largely leveraging our PowerShell library. So we've brought in a list of Cisco UCS activities. I think there's about 13 or 14 that we expose, you know, connecting to UCS, disconnecting from UCS, some of our special commandlets like backing up UCS, copying service profiles and such. And ultimately, the most important activity in there is run PowerTools. So you can create a complex PowerShell script if you want and have it, you know, in the center of your activity. What you might see across the top, I think we've got a couple of screenshots. Yeah, here we go. Here's a screenshot of our activities, you know, again, including run PowerTool.
So the thought process is here, when we initially developed this integration pack, we basically did a one-to-one mapping of all of our commandlets to activities you could do in the integration pack, and a bit overwhelmed a System Center orchestrator with 1,500 different activities. So we prepared it down to the things that people really, you know, you would need to do, and then enabled you to run that your own custom PowerShell scripts using PowerTool. So the thought process was, you know, you're going to want to do this most likely in PowerTool anyway, so let's give you a way to execute those things.
And most importantly, we're providing a good quantity of sample runbooks. So you can go in and see, you know, again, how some of the common samples are constructed, make some modifications on your own. But some of the, you know, some of the common system administrator focused tasks, backing up UCS, you know, deploying a new service profile from template, even getting tech support files from your UCS domain can be fully automated. We give you some nice samples and make it really easy, again, to get up and running. Any questions? Is anyone using System Center Orchestrator today? And is anyone using our PAC? Great. So what did you think of the demos?
Good.
Useful?
If anyone has any questions, please feel come up to the microphone and ask questions. That'd be great.
Two quick questions. I see during the transaction demo that you have start transaction and complete transaction. Do you have show transaction?
So at this, no, there's not a show transaction.
You
basically
so you can
see
what's
the number
pending in terms of number of things pending, but you can't see what they are unless you execute them.
Right. Okay. But what you can do is use that estimate impact. It'll actually tell you what's going to be applied as well.
So what's
the changes that's going
to
affect.
It's the equivalent of a what if is your
show.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then the other question is when you're doing your diff syncing, I noticed that there was a bunch of adds and one modify. But would the modify destroy the object to which it was about to modify? Or is there a way to do the equivalent of a mirror versus a diff sync?
Well, so the modify is there's certain objects when you add a service profile as an example that are created by the system. So like there's certain objects inside of the service profile like power state and such that you know that they're created when you create a service profile automatically. So we're modifying those states. So when you create the service profile, when we do that, it's basically it's not an object that an end user can create. So you're basically modifying.
Well, ask a different question. So in the Eric versus Bob, you had one VLAN that existed on one but did not exist on the other. And so basically what you ended up with when you did your diff sync is a superset, correct? Where it had the existing VLANs and it had the ones which you added.
Yep.
Is there a way to do basically a mirror process this way?
So if basically the object exists on both places, in my examples, on domain A, it wasn't there, but if they were both there, it'll actually do a property-by-property diff then. So then if every property, we'd look and see where the differences are and do it.
I was asking, is there a way to get, like, something that's on option, something which you're syncing to destroy something that wasn't, okay. A good example is, like, let's say VLAN 22 was on B, and you're syncing from A to B.
Yep.
In your example, I assume that it's still present after you do your diff sync. Is there a way to do a sync where it's a mirror instead of just a sync of the delta?
Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. It's with the noise.
He's asking about delete not present.
He's asking about delete not present.
Oh, okay. Actually, since you heard the question, do you mind answering? I had trouble hearing you. So, here.
I think you wanted to check if we could delete stuff from the other. We do have options saying if you add an extra parameter, which is delete not present, we would actually knock off objects from the other UCS. We would make them exactly the same.
Yeah. For instance, for a customer that basically will, you know, they wanted to basically move a service profile from one to another. So it would say if it's not present here, then it'll delete it as well. So yeah, you can do that. So sorry, I was having trouble hearing your question. Are there any other questions from the crowd? Yeah, they're going to be posted up on developer.cisco.com in the UCS page. So if you search, if you Google search for or Bing search, whatever your choice is, if you search out for UCS Power Tool examples, it'll take you to a page on developer.cisco.com that. It's free. You can basically anyone can get under. You have to have a CCO account. But everything will be available publicly anyway, so you don't have to have a CCO account to get to it.
And completely free.
Yeah, it doesn't cost at all to get to any of this stuff. No. Anybody that has a CCO account can get to those.
We'll have these in the booth as well. If you want to come by, we'd be happy to go through these in more detail.
Yeah, if you get to us afterwards, we can get that, no problem. Are there any other questions from the... Yep.
So what's to stop somebody? I have 20 blades that I've installed. I don't want them
to get my... So this for the question was basically, I have 20 profiles, and how do I force... That's be based on your privileges. You would want to make sure the user, when they log into UCS Manager, is using basically the set of privileges, and you can basically define a locale in UCS Manager. So it's all based upon your role-based administration you've set in UCSM. So make sure that they have appropriate set of privileges to not move those, as well as not be part of the locale that you want them to be able to manipulate.
We have a very granular role-based authentication model that you can configure.
My customer has an orchestrator and also has Cisco Works.
Okay.
Switches.
Yep.
Can we tie into Cisco Works?
I don't know at all on that one. I mean, right now,
Cisco Works.
I know I've heard of it, but I've never used it. So I mean, right now, I don't know if there's a scripting element to Cisco Works. You potentially could, but I don't think there's a PowerShell library or anything like we have with UCS for that.
What about LMS? Do you join with LMS?
Nope. I'm more on the server side. I'm not as no. I'm not.
Server side of Cisco.
Yeah.
What about iServer? Are you familiar with that? The NAC?
No, I'm not.
I haven't
either.
Used that.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So that will be posted very soon to Cisco Developer Network as a beta. So it'll be available this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the end of the show, we'll be posting it.
Yeah, it'll be posting it.
Okay, great.
So.
You bet.